On 167, the toll is just in the hot lane. So if you don't want to try drive in the toll lane, you don't have to. Plus, there's alternate routes. For folks on the Key Peninsula, other parts of, Pearson, Kitsap County, there is no real alternate route, and the whole bridge is tolled. There's a toll-free lane there. And so I think, you know, the corridors are all a little bit different. Okay. You know, folks have said, oh, you have to pay tolls on the 520 bridge. That's true, but there's I-90 and there's 522 if you don't want to pay the tolls. If you're on Key Peninsula, you got to go to the doctor, you got to get to work. There aren't really alternatives that exist for you. And, you know, the pandemic.
It's a
really
long, long drive. Okay, a long drive or a ferry boat ride, which will cost more than a toll. So I get that. So would I be a little bit cynical to say, this looks like a $130 million gift to try and rescue a vulnerable state senator named Emily Randall, who represents the Gig Harbor area, of course, where the Narrows Bridge comes over?
You're too cynical, John. There's a lot of people that live on the other side of the bridge that don't vote for a state senate, and there's a lot of folks who live on the other side of the bridge who didn't vote for Emily Randall that have also had impacts from the pandemic and are also going to be paying these tolls for a little longer. I will say Senator Randall's been a fierce advocate for this toll reduction, so she should get some credit for really, really pushing hard for it. But there's going to be a lot of folks who aren't going to vote for her this fall who are going to be paying less tolls. And, you know, we build a system that works for everybody. It doesn't matter what your party affiliation or whether you vote or not. We want to make sure the system's fair and works for everybody.
We actually had Emily on the show. We talked about this. I want to address the most controversial aspect of the bill, not only here in Washington, but outside in Oregon and in Idaho and up in Alaska. And that is, you've got a tax that you are levying on the sale of oil out of state, which has already inspired retaliatory promises. In Alaska, they want to put a tax on fish that are headed to the state of Washington, tax on boats that are licensed from Washington, coming in from Washington. Idaho has a bill coursing through the legislature. And in Oregon, your very liberal governor in Oregon has said this is flat out unacceptable and unfair. Is that tax going to go away?
You know, I don't think so. I think what's true is we have five refineries in Washington that have impacts in our communities. They refine fuel for Washington. They also happen to refine fuel for other states. Our own state taxpayers pay 49 cents every time a gallon of fuel leaves one of those refineries.
Right.
These other states pay nothing. And so what we're asking is not that they pay 49 cents like our Washington taxpayers, but that they pay 6 cents. It seems like a fair cost for the transportation system that benefits those refineries that gets that fuel to those states. So we're trying to be fair and apportion the cost. Also, we said loud and clear that we're not going to raise the gas tax on our residents in this recovery, in this package, and this is keeping that promise. We're asking the folks who benefit from these refineries who aren't paying to chip in, and of course they don't want to. No one wants to pay taxes. That your whole show is based around that premise, and none of us like to pay taxes.
So,
and I get it. We got to hold government accountable, but this is a fair way of apportioning the costs. You know, these refineries impact our air quality. The trucks that serve those refineries are on our roads. You know, we need to make sure that they're paying something to the transportation system that they benefit from. And a 6 cents versus the 49 cents that our taxpayers pay seems like a really fair and modest little bit to help make sure that they've got a transportation system to get the fuel to them from the refinery.
When we bring in fuel from other states, do we pay a tax to those states?
I don't believe that the neighboring states that send us fuel have any kind of export taxes.
Well, no,
you know,
if
they can do an analysis and show that there's an impact, then, you know, I think it's fair, but no one else has done that to date. We're doing it here. We've got five of them, you know, up in Cherry Point. We've got one in Tacoma. These have a real impact in our state, and, you know, they benefit from our transportation system. So I think everybody who benefits from our system should be chipping in a little
problem,
bit to help maintain it.
I think the problem here, Senator Leas, is that the reason why we don't pay other states when fuel comes here from other states is that it's unconstitutional. States can't have tariffs. I mean, it's one reason we had the Articles of Confederation, and flowing from that, the U.S. Constitution was to keep states from treating each other as nations and having trade policies. We can't do that.
We can't impose tariffs. That's true. A tariff is just a tax because something crossed the state line. We're not taxing this because it's crossing a state line.
But that's what triggers the tax.
What we're taxing here is fuel that's made in Washington that has an impact on our state.
That crosses the state line.
Right. We've given an exemption for fuel that leaves the state because of that was the policy that passed, but it still has an impact. Half the fuel we refine leaves the state. It's not as if the air quality impacts only come from the half of the fuel that's refined here. No, all the fuel that's refined here has an air quality impact. All of it has a greenhouse gas impact. The trucks that serve those refineries are for all of the fuel that's refined there. We've had an exemption in place for that fuel that leaves the state. So we're not taxing it to punish Oregon or to punish Idaho or to punish
Alaska. Okay, but look at the result.
Put ourselves in a more favorable position. We've got refineries that have an impact on our state. We pay a tax on that impact.
Right.
Other states.
No, I hear you,
it's fair that everybody accommodate and deal with and mitigate their impacts, and that's the goal of this.
Quote, I spoke with Governor Inslee today, made it very clear that Washington taking unilateral action to increase gas prices for Oregon families and businesses is unacceptable, says Kate Brown. You've got legislators in Alaska who, again, want to start taxing fish and other marine life that is headed to Washington state. You've got Idaho up in arms. I mean, this is exactly what happened. Retaliatory taxes are the automatic response.
Governor Brown's line is a joke. The state of Oregon charges $300 million on Washingtonians that cross the border to work there every year. So the idea that, you know, this 6-cent tax on fuel that's polluting our communities is some onerous burden while her state basically lives off of Washington state residents, $300 million that our residents aren't benefiting from if they're paying in income taxes to Oregon. The fact that she dares say a word is just a joke. I mean, this governor down in Oregon is living in fantasy land. She's in the last few months of her term. She's losing relevance. She's a lame duck. Obviously, she's grasping for something to stay in the headlines as her, you know, of her successors being selected. The idea that with our taxpayers paying over $300 million in income taxes every year without a benefit in Oregon, that they would dare, you know, make these kinds of claims when our communities are suffering from the impacts of these refining activities, you know, it's a joke.
Keep in mind they also have the benefit of not paying a sales tax when they're in Oregon, Marco. But here's my point. My point is constitutional. No other state has this. I don't see how it survives a challenge, a constitutional challenge that violates the Interstate Commerce Clause.
And that's also not entirely true, John. There are taxes on fuel that travels across state lines and at least have been in at least three other states. In Florida, they had a tax on unlicensed fuel distributors that were exporting tax, and a court upheld that. In Tennessee and Texas. Now, they're smaller taxes. I'll give you that a disclaimer. But there are states that have placed taxes on exported fuels because there are impacts of this activity.
Okay,
ours is larger in scale, but we believe, you know, in light of the precedent and in light of the court decisions we found, that this is constitutional. Now, what I can guarantee you is you know, one of these states is going to sue and a court will tell us
right.
Whether this is constitutional. And, you know, that's part of why we delayed the tax to not take effect for a year, because we know there's going to be some legal challenges. Like, we will work through the implementation to make sure that we're doing this in a prudent way. But this is a fair thing to ask. If our taxpayers are paying nearly 50 cents a gallon, it's fair to ask other states that are benefiting from our infrastructure and our refineries to pay a teeny bit.
The Texas and Florida law is like the one that we have, kind of a tax at the rack to allow the tracking of fuel so that appropriate taxes are paid and you prevent fraud. Neither the Texas nor the Florida statutes result in additional revenue. And that's the whole purpose of this tax, is additional revenue. So, I think you're comparing an apple with an orange there.
But the nexus for this revenue and the reason for this revenue is because these refineries benefit from our transportation system and they have an impact on our state.
As they do around the country in every other state that has a refinery.
And the fact that those states have chosen not to do this is their public policy choice. We in Washington are saying
because it's not constitutional.
Our choice to make. Neither of us can resolve that. It'll be a court that resolves that. I believe it is constitutional.
Okay, Marco, we have 40 seconds left. If the House does not support this particular part of the bill and it goes away, how do you fill that hole? We got 30 seconds.
We'll separate when we get to it. You know, that currently the House committee approved the bill with the tax, with the export tax in it. You know, we're continuing in that direction. If something changes, you know, we'll deal with it when we cross that bridge. But at this point, the plan is to proceed with the bill as it was passed out of the House committee, and I support that.
Once again, thank you for coming on the show. We always have great conversations when you do. Appreciate you making the time. Look forward to another conversation if you're up for it. Thank you, Senator Liz. Here's Markley Van Camp and Robbins.
Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins.
We just become best friends.